Okay, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Thank you so much all for being here. I want to thank all of my colleagues in government for joining us here today. Before I continue with today's introductions and announcement, I'd like to invite Pastor Earl Perrin, a great friend of mine and our community and a very close friend of Lieutenant Aaron Salter Jr. Pastor Perrin is the pastor of Delane Waring African Methodist Episcopal Church, right over on Swan Street. Pastor.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure. I want to thank, first of all, the congressman for allowing persons like me, which I consider to be the least of the least, to speak at such a momentous occasion, although it might be sad. So at this time, we would like to bow our heads and say a prayer. Our Father who sits on high and looks down low, we come asking you, Father, that you bless all of us, Lord. Particularly, Lord, let's start with the survivors of these incidents who bear scars that you cannot see, the survivors of this incident who are still trying to deal with the day-to-day lives as they handle the weight of 2022. Lord, we know that this was not easy for them. We know it was very, very difficult. But Father, we ask that you would cover them. So this prayer today is a prayer of petition, where we ask and beseech you, O Lord, to please, please forgive us for our misdoings, forgive us for our grievous deeds, our sins, Lord. But we know you are a Lord of grace and mercy. And we also know, Lord, that in Romans 8 and 28, you said, all things go for the good of thee. So Father, I'm asking you, allow this event to be something that catapults us to some greater events. Allow them to renew the lives that were lost in this event. Allow them to renew the spirits of those who have lost hope. Allow them to renew Jefferson, which, Lord, we know needs to be renewed. And Father, allow those who promise to help and to do things that have yet to come to fruition to follow through with the promises they made. To allow this area to have a supermarket that continues to thrive. Allow it to have business and life that continues to thrive. But Lord, most of all, allow us to have lives that represent the individuals in the marginalized community who have yet to realize the true American dream. So allow this to be the best of Buffalo and to show what the world can do. In the name of your beautiful son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Pastor. We're going to have a few more words from Pastor Perrin shortly. But I want to thank the pastor for lifting up our spirits and for bringing us closer to the loved ones that we lost almost 3 years ago to the day. We're joined here today by family members of the victims and survivors of the May 14th, 2022 mass shooting here at Tops Friendly Markets on Jefferson. Cashel Durham, the sister of Lieutenant Aaron Salter Jr., who we'll hear from. Ebony White, the niece of Hayward Patterson. Of course, Councilwoman Zanetta Everhart, the mother of Zaire Goodman. We're also joined by Mo Sumbundu, a member of the 514 Memorial Commission, and my colleagues in government, Legislator Taisha St. Jean Tard, Legislator Lawrence Dupre, Common Council Majority Leader Leah Halton Pope, Common Council Member Brian Bowman, Councilman Mitch Nowakowski, Legislature Chair Tim Myers, Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick, School Board Member Janita Everhart, and representatives of Senator April Baskin, Assembly Member John Rivera, and Majority Leader Crystal People Stokes, all of whom are here with us in spirit but are doing the people's business down in the state capitol in Albany and could not join us in person. 3 years ago this week, our community was changed forever. With hatred in his heart, a racist gunman, a domestic terrorist, drove 2.5 hours to Buffalo and in a matter of 123 seconds, stole 10 precious, beautiful souls from our community. Severely injured 3 survivors and left our community permanently scarred. We thank God for the swift response of the Buffalo Police Department, which arrived within minutes of the first gunshot. And we are forever grateful to all of the first responders who provided life-saving care that day. When the terrorists entered Tops that day, God had sent a guardian angel to us. Retired Buffalo police officer, Lieutenant Aaron Salter Jr. Lieutenant Salter, working that day as an armed security guard, responded immediately. He drew his weapon and using his 30 years of Buffalo police experience, fired off multiple accurate shots. His actions were nothing short of heroic, buying precious moments for patrons and customers to hide or escape, and there is no doubt that there are people alive today because of his reflective and brave response. That should have stopped the carnage in its tracks. Unfortunately, the shooter was armed with military-grade body armor, which absorbed the shots. The killer returned fire and murdered Lieutenant Salter. It's in his memory and those of his fellow victims that we are here today to introduce legislation that closes a significant loophole in federal law. The domestic terrorist who attacked our city that day should never have been able to own military-grade body armor. Advanced equipment like that should be used by law enforcement and the military, and that's it. That's why we're announcing today the introduction of the Aaron Salter Jr. Responsible Body Armor Possession Act, a piece of common sense legislation that keeps tools of war off our streets. This act would restrict the purchase, ownership, or possession of enhanced body armor by civilians, the type of armor that's designed to protect against 7.62 millimeter full metal jacket lead core rifle ammunition, ammunition used in war. Troublingly, this is not an isolated incident. Body armor has been used time and time again in mass shootings. Sutherland Springs, Texas, Aurora, Colorado, Boulder, Colorado, San Bernardino, California, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and other places. Perpetrators in these instances have been able to easily purchase enhanced body armor and use it to carry out horrific acts of violence because there's no federal restriction on this equipment for average citizens. Frankly, it's bad enough that weapons of war are making it onto our streets. It adds insult to injury to give them these domestic terrorists unfettered access to tools that prevent police from stopping acts of violence. Passing this legislation is among my top priorities in Congress. This is common sense legislation. It protects police, it protects the public, and if enacted, it will save lives just like Aaron Salter Jr. did on that terrible day 3 years ago. With that, I'd like to invite a fierce advocate for gun violence protection, a devoted mother, a tremendous leader in our community, and my dear friend, Councilwoman Zanetta Everhart, to say a few words. Councilwoman.
Thank you, Congressman, and sorry for the voice. It's allergy season. So thank you for always standing with us. You're always here for us, and you always see the needs of our community. And as we are about to celebrate the third 514 Memorial Anniversary, it is important that our congressman is here introducing this bill. We have to make sure that we are protecting communities. And our congressional leaders need to understand that it is their job, it is their duty. That is why we elect them. We need them to support this bill. Why? Because we don't feel protected in our streets. When people are able to get access to this type of military equipment, when they're able to get access to AR-15s, that means that we're all in danger. And so thank you, Congressman, so much for making sure that you are continuing to stand with us, thinking of the families who lost their loved ones on 5/14/2022, and the survivors, of course. Survivors need to see that their elected leaders are doing something in the face of these things. And so I'm just grateful to always stand with you for this. And please, everyone, just remember the families in a couple days. You know, they're going through it. They're really, really going through it. And I do want to say a special prayer and send love and condolences to the Whitfield family. Garnell lost his father last week. They will be burying his father on 5/14. And so as we're moving about our personal lives this week, think of that, right? Like, think of these families. And also to our elected leaders, on the federal level. Our congressman has our back, and we need you all to stand with him. These families are still hurting. Every bill that is advanced as it relates to 514 is about saving lives and protecting communities. And we need all the support that we can get for this. So thank you, Congressman.
Thank you.
I appreciate you.
Thank you, Councilwoman Everhart. And again, our thoughts and prayers are with the Whitfield family. Thank you for bringing that up. Garnell Whitfield Sr. Passed just this past couple of weeks. Their services are at St. Paul's this Wednesday. And when I talked to the former commissioner this past week, lending my sympathies to him and his family, he told me that 514 this year will be a celebration of the unification of his parents. Of course, his mother, Ruth, 86 years old, was gunned down by that terrorist on 514 3 years ago. And also to the Councilwoman's point, you know, we made a commitment as a community to never forget those individuals who were stolen from us on May 14, 2022, that they will not have died in vain, and our community, our state, and our nation will be better because of the lives that they lived. And it is in their memory, and again, in the memory of Lieutenant Aaron Salter Jr., that we advance important pieces of legislation like this one here today. And with that, I'd like to introduce someone who can truly speak to the man that Aaron Salter Jr. was. Someone that knew him very well, better than any of us, and that is his sister, Kishelle Durham. Kishelle, thank you for being here.
Thank you. It's an honor and privilege to be here, to have all these people standing here beside me, that, you know, Aaron's death was not in vain. I feel honored and privileged that they're looking at introducing this bill. All the people that lost their lives that day and the ones that got injured, and just their mental health. And it's hard to believe it's been 3 years. And I can't thank each and every one of you guys enough for just the support. It makes me feel good that I'm not alone in this, and with the loss of Aaron. And again, thank you so much.
Take it, Kennedy. Thank you, Kishelle. And finally, to close us out, he started us off in prayer, prayer we all need each and every day, especially as we come upon the anniversary of 514 and remembrance of those souls that were lost on that tragic day. A man who served alongside Lieutenant Aaron Salter, his former partner on the Buffalo Police Force. And I said that we may not have known Aaron any better than Kishelle, but I think Pastor Earl Perrin might have known him just as well. Isn't that right?
Close enough.
So with that, again, I'd like to introduce Pastor Earl Perrin to say a few words about his brother.
Thank you,
and
sir.
Appreciate our hero. Thank you, Pastor.
This is still difficult 3 years later. I commend all the victims' families for even having to deal with this. It never gets easier. But Aaron was one heck of a person. I mean, a true servant, not just for the community, but for everybody. If you ever heard the stories of the people that worked at Tops, they'll tell you how he walked their groceries out to the cars. He opened the doors for the old lady. He is the epitome of what every man should try to be. And it's, you would be happy if your son turned out to be half the man that Aaron was. Not just a giving person, but also an intellectual. He created a car that could be driven on gas hydrogen-powered electrolysis. I mean, who does that as an officer? You're talking about a man who was ways, his degree from Kinesis College is just a mere glance into his intellect, but a true servant, amen. I think we all should aspire to try to be a servant just as Aaron was, not just to God, but to the community and even to the people he attempted to save, giving his own life when he could have left, knowing full well that that handgun that he had was no match against the body armor and everything else. But that's the kind of person he was, willing to give his life for everybody else. what kind of man, like I'm just, and you're talking about someone who retired from the police department who worked with Aaron that was on the SWAT team. These people are rare. Aaron is the epitome of what a hero is, and that's why we created the Legacy 514 Scholarship Fund that we've been doing for 3 years. At the end of the June, we'll have another golf and gala to try to raise money for scholarships in the name of the victims, such as Ebony's uncle, such as Cashel's brother, and all the other victims, the Garnell Whitfields and everyone that lost their life. But this particular bill is about the fact that had it not been for that body armor, Aaron would have saved everyone else inside. Unless we not forget the young woman who ran away, that escaped, who was hiding inside of the freezer and took off, ran all the way from Jefferson to Canisius College. She's still suffering with those wounds and consistently goes to seek help for everything because she feels paranoid now, like they're still seeking her out. These are the kind of scars that the survivors have to deal with. So my prayers, as much as they go out for everyone else, particularly go out for those who have to deal with this on a daily basis. But I thank people like the congressman who saw it not robbery to take their time and try to do something and stop these body armor wearing imbeciles who decide that they want to do something in the name of hate. But at the end of it all, I know for a fact, and God and the Bible never lie, love will always win out. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor.
No, thank you, sir. Thank you.
With that, we'll take any on-topic questions. No, it is not. No, as a matter of fact, this is very specific legislation that will ban the sale, possession, or transfer of military-grade RF1 grade body armor that is used in war. There's also exemptions for law enforcement and former law enforcement, which is why this bill is supported by the Fraternal Order of Police as well as a number of gun violence prevention organizations.
Congressman Kennedy.
Yeah, Dave.
I remember being here before, and so it's not a new idea. Mm-hmm. And in researching the story I did the last time I was here with you, I found out that some version or another of this bill predates 514. So I have a two-part question. The first is, can you explain why Congress doesn't have an appetite, a stomach, or a taste to do this? Because it's been tried before, and like I said, before 514, and it doesn't seem to matter if Democrats are in charge, Congress or Republicans, it doesn't get out of committee. So the first thing I'd like you to address is your thoughts on why that is.
Yeah, first and foremost, I think it takes tragedies like the one that occurred here just 3 years ago to get people's attention. And when you see that this isn't the only place that this sort of horrific tragedy happened in our nation, it brings forward the importance of banning this military-grade body armor that these perpetrators of hate and violence are bringing to communities across the nation. And following 514, New York State, at that point in time, I was a member of the Senate, passed very similar legislation that banned enhanced body armor. This is military grade body armor, the type that's used by our military, not by law enforcement, but it also exempts law enforcement from the legislation. So in fact, they'll be able to use it. Look, the bottom line is, this is legislation that needs to get done. And that's why we're here. We are using the spirit of those that were lost on 514 and the survivors of the victims in our community as a basis to jump off and to change legislation in our country so that streets are safer. If we can ban military grade enhanced body armor from falling into the hands of those that want to perpetrate hate and violence across our country, we'll in fact made our streets safer and saved lives. And that's the goal of this legislation.
Why it never seems to pass,
Well, I just got to the House a year ago. I co-sponsored this bill immediately. This year, I lead the bill on my own. We have been building co-sponsors, and we, in fact, will be putting it forward on 514 in the name of the victims.
And just to follow up, have you changed the bill at all? Being cognizant, I assume, that it's never passed before, is there anything different this year that maybe you put in or took out thinking we can get something done here?
There is a minor technical change, but the gist of this bill bans enhanced body armor, military-grade body armor, from being utilized by civilians, because weapons of war and protections from those that want to stop violence in our community, police officers ought to have more protection than those that perpetrate violence in our communities. And so this is a ban that will do just that.
Of course, you hope that everyone's behind it, but like, can you specifically say, are there maybe like specific Republicans where you're like, yeah, they you think would be on board with, you know, with an action like this? Maybe there's some potential with, I don't know, you know, certain politicians at the national level as opposed to others?
Yeah, so we've advanced this bill for co-sponsorship, for introduction in a couple of days on 514. We have begun to receive co-sponsors. We have put it out to both Democrats and Republicans to this point. We do not have Republican support. I'm hopeful that they will see the worthiness of this legislation. This is, in fact, making streets safer across our country. Urban, suburban, rural America, Democratic, Republican America. This is legislation that ought to be supported in a bipartisan fashion because it makes everyone safer. The fact that an 18-year-old 3 years ago could go online and purchase military-grade body armor that included a military-grade helmet and shield and hard armor, which is even more sophisticated than our own police wear because it's military grade, that is unacceptable. And we intend to fix that loophole in the policy here in our country and make our streets safer. Yeah, so in July of 2022, following this horrific massacre, New York State took action and banned body armor to this effect. This will make the New York State law a part of what we're looking at on a national level. That's right, because there is no federal law governing this enhanced body armor. So right now it's basically wide open legislation like the Wild West, and we need to rein that in. And when you see that it's not just our community that was impacted, when you look that this happened in Texas and California and Colorado and Pennsylvania and other places, this has become a pattern. And it's a pattern where those that are perpetrating hate and violence in our community come in better armed than law enforcement that's trying to stop them. And that cannot happen. And so this legislation in the name of Lieutenant Aaron Salter Jr. will make our streets safer. It'll stop violence in its tracks, and it'll help our police and law enforcement across the board better protect us, which is why they're supportive of it.
What about security guards?
Yeah, so there is exemptions for law enforcement, for former law enforcement, for those that are qualified for concealed carry. and for corrections officers. So there are certainly exemptions for security officers that qualify to a certain level. He certainly could have. All right, thank you, everybody.